Do you know what I use to record these podcasts? It's Anchor by Spotify. It's the easiest way to make a podcast with everything you need all in one place. Let me explain. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or a computer. It's all really, really easy. It's all really intuitive. When hosting on Anchor, you can distribute your podcast on listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. It's everything you need to make a podcast. To Inside Indiana Sports Now with Kent Sterling. It's Tuesday, September 7th, 2021. We're brought to you by the great people at Today's Dentistry. Dr. Mike O'Neill, the best dentist that there is. Call him. Make an appointment. Do it today. Take control of your dental health once and for all. 317-849-2933 is the number. Hit subscribe. Bang the like button. Ring the bell. Let's go. Let's talk about sports. Colts have got the Seahawks coming up this Sunday, game one of this season, and it's an important one. If you've got a schedule like the Colts have a schedule, you got to get off to a good start. And the truth is that the Colts haven't won a season opener since 2013. And before that, they haven't won an opener since 2009. That means they're like, what are they, 1-10, 1-11 over their last bunch of openers? For God's sake. It's been a long time, and they haven't won their first two. They haven't started a season 2-0 since 2009 when they won their first 14 games. You remember that? Not if you're in high school, you don't. You know, it's been a long time. Hello, how are you? Who's your garage? Let's talk about this game between the Seahawks and the Colts and talk about five matchups that the Colts must win if they're going to win on Sunday. And we're not talking about the quarterbacks, right? Because Russell Wilson matches up with the entire defense, and so does Carson Wentz, who we assume is going to play on Sunday afternoon. Number five, Seahawks safety Jamal Adams versus the entire Colts offense, because this is a safety that can line up in the box. He can line up as an edge rusher. He can line up as a true safety. He can line up all over the field. He is a menace. 9.5 sacks last year, and he comes from all over the place. So you've got to scheme for Jamal Adams everywhere. You have to scheme for him up the middle, on the right edge, on the left edge, everywhere. And that is going to keep Marcus Brady up nights and Frank Reich. Because if you don't account for Jamal Adams, you're going to have problems come Sunday afternoon. Last year, how about this? On his pass rush snaps, he brought pressure on 32% of them. That's virtually 1 in 3. That's unbelievable. That is a historically high number, especially for his safety. Just incredible productivity out of that position for Jamal Adams. Okay, number four, Seahawks running back Chris Carson against Bobby Okereke. And this is going to be really interesting. And you can throw Darius Leonard in there too. But the reason it's going to be interesting with Bobby Okereke is that the Colts had the number two ranked run defense in all the NFL last year. And a lot of that had to do with Anthony Walker. Anthony Walker now plays for the Cleveland Browns. Bobby Okereke has replaced Anthony Walker at that Mike linebacker position. What Okereke does really well is move. He is fast. Walker wasn't so fast. But what Walker could do was stick his nose in a hole and stop an opposing running back from gaining positive yardage. That's what he was really, really good. We're going to talk about that. We'll talk about Eric Fisher in a minute. It's really important that Bobby Okereke is aggressive at the point of attack, because if he's not as good at that as Anthony Walker was, then the Colts are going to have some trouble against the run, and Chris Carson could have a pretty good day. Darius Leonard also factors into this quite obviously. So does Kari Willis. So, you know what? So do the defensive tackles, DeForest Buckner among them. Important that those guys play really, really well, that they play disciplined football, and that they find a way to keep Chris Carson from gashing them up the middle. Number three, linebacker Bobby Wagner, who's one of the best in the NFL, against Jonathan Taylor. Bobby Wagner, the number two ranked linebacker via Pro Football Focus, 90.3 is his grade against the run. You've got Jonathan Taylor, who's the number 10 rated running back by Pro Football Focus. 1,169 yards last year, most of them coming in the last six games of the season. 5 yards per carry, 11 TDs rushing, 299 yards receiving, and a touchdown receiving. If Jonathan Taylor can win this battle against Bobby Wagner, the Colts are going to be able to run the football. They're going to be able to move the sticks via the run. Bobby Wagner wins that matchup. If he can do what we were talking about Anthony Walker doing, what he did last year, Colts are going to have a tough time. If they got to throw the ball to win this game, Colts are going to have a tough time, and that goes for all 17 games. They are not built to win through the air. That's not the way this team was constructed. They need to win with a balanced attack between running and throwing the football, and with Carson Wentz really getting his first action of the preseason, other than a practice last week and a couple of practices this week beginning tomorrow. You know what? It's going to be a lot of timing routes. It's going to be a lot, not checkdowns, because there's no check up. You're going to throw an out here. You're going to throw a slant. You're going to throw to a back. Expect Nyheim Hines to have a big day. And you're going to give the ball to Jonathan Taylor. Again, he has got to win that matchup between he and Bobby Wagner. Number two, this one is going to scare the living hell out of Matt Eberflus. All week long, he's going to have visions of DK Metcalf in his brain. How do we stop this 6'4" guy who runs a 4.3 40 and weighs 230 pounds and has really good hands, caught 83 balls last year for over 1,300 yards? How are we going to stop this guy? Are we going to be able to do it with Xavier Rhodes alone? No. We got to be able to do it with Kenny Moore? No. We going to be able to do it with Rocky Sin? Hell no. And we'll talk about Rocky Sin and what Matt Eberflus said about him today. What you're going to have to do is you're really going to have to scheme help toward DK Metcalf. And I don't know exactly what you do, but you cannot let DK Metcalf beat you, and you especially cannot let him beat you late in a play. You've got to keep Russell Wilson hemmed in. If he scrambles and Metcalf rolls in the way that Wilson's scrambling, and a safety loses track, or Xavier Rhodes loses track, big trouble. Big trouble. Touchdown in the offing. Sweep the leg. Absolutely. You have a problem with that? No, I don't. All right, if you're Rocky Sin, look, you know what? Sweep the leg. He knows how to do that. He was a high school wrestler, for God's sake. But DK Metcalf, DeKalen Zacharias Metcalf, is going to be a nightmare for your Indianapolis Colts, and there is no question about that. How did this guy last until late in the second round a couple of years ago? He's entering his third year in the NFL, and last year he was absolutely awesome. Again, 1,303 yards, 10 TDs, 83 catches. He is a nightmare if you don't have somebody who can at least give him a matchup problem. And I don't know who that is for your Indianapolis Colts. All right, the number one matchup that the Colts absolutely must win on Sunday in order to win this game, it's Kwity Paye against Duane Brown. Duane Brown, the left tackle, 36 years old. Just today it was announced he's got a restructured contract that gives him some injury guarantees in 2022. He knows the end is nigh. Good afternoon, Neil. He knows the end's coming. Duane Brown does. And for Kwity Paye, this is his first NFL action ever against one of the best left tackles in the game. Four-time Pro Bowler, really, really good at what he does. He was the number, at the age of 35, the number five ranked left tackle or tackle period in the NFL last year. So, oh, we'll get to scores later in the week. We tease forward always to Friday. We'll predict the score. We'll do that on Friday. I hope with the help of our friend and back, both the Orb of Wisdom is going to weigh in, and then, of course, the grim specter of our spiritual colleague out and back that we will unveil on Friday. Looking forward to that. Kwity Paye is 14 years younger than Duane Brown, and he is a guy who is more athletic, probably at this point stronger, but up here, you're playing against a guy who's been in the NFL for a long time. And experience matters in the NFL. So this is going to be a fascinating matchup to me between a first-round draft pick who absolutely has the physical wherewithal to do some really good things. However, does he have it up here yet? Does he have all the information necessary to be able to keep Dwayne Brown off balance and get to Russell Wilson without passing Russell Wilson, right? There you go. Do I think the Hoosiers will bounce back from their loss at Iowa? You know what? Sure. Against Idaho? Yes, I do. I think they're going to beat the Vandals. So what's that mean? Now, talk to me next week, and we'll see what I think about Indiana's chances against Cincinnati, because I don't think Indiana has an offensive line that's worth a damn. And that's a problem, because that doesn't improve like this. There are other things that you can kind of scheme up to cover, and in some substitutions you can make, some lineup changes that can be made, that can happen and elevate the play at a position group. But offensive line, man, it is hard to get an offensive line from week one to week two to week three to really take a leap forward. And that's the biggest problem with Indiana. Indiana gave up 34 points to Iowa and only scored 6. And Michael Penix looked inert. Not good. And then you look at the running back. I mean, running back, 19 carries, 57 yards. He looked slow to me. Speed's another area. If you don't have it, you got a problem. So there you go. Matt Eberflus spoke to the media today. Matt Eberflus said this about Rocky Sin. Rocky Sin has been in there competing like the rest of the guys. I think that he's had his good moments. We'll see where guys match up. What that means is if Rocky Sin has to play on Sunday, I don't feel good about it. I don't want Rocky Sin to play. Can we not have Rocky Sin play? How do I say this in the nicest possible way? If Rocky Sin plays, we got big trouble. That's what Matt Eberflus was thinking. Eric Fisher, he may play. At least Marcus Brady, the offensive coordinator, didn't rule him out. So he's got potentially tomorrow, Thursday, Friday to practice and try to get into some kind of banging shape so he can go out there and try to protect Carson Wentz and open holes for Jonathan Taylor. Eric Fisher would be a big help. If Eric Fisher plays at Eric Fisher level, right? He was the 16th ranked offensive tackle in the NFL last year, actually tied. His grade tied exactly with Braden Smith. They tied for 16th. If you can get Eric Fisher out there, you feel really good as long as he can play like Eric Fisher. Otherwise, you're going to have Julian Davenport. If Matt was a high school wrestling coach, he'd feel good about Yassin. Yeah, it's so dangerous to throw a narrative out there behind a guy. Like if you say, look, this guy was a high school wrestler of the highest order, and because he was a wrestler, he's got all of this and all of that, and he knows how to hand fight out there, and then the guy stinks on ice. You sound like you were an idiot for taking the guy 34th overall, right? You got to be careful the things you tell the media and through the media, the fans, or you wind up sounding like a chump. The Seahawks, what we tend to think, and this is across all start times, okay? 1 o'clock games, 4 o'clock games, night games. The Seahawks, the last 13 times they played in the Eastern time zone, 12-1, all with Russell Wilson as the quarterback. Russell Wilson, a passer rating of 117.9 in those games with 26 TDs and 5 interceptions. Russell Wilson is really good in the East. Why? I don't know. Does it mean anything for Sunday? I don't know that either. Because it's a small sample size, right? Russell Wilson's never missed a game. How about that for a third-round draft pick? Never missed a game. Started every single game that the Seahawks had played since 2012. I cannot believe he's in his 30s. That's unreal to me. What position do I think is the biggest need next year in the draft? Tight end. I think they got to get a tight end. You have to have somebody at the tight end spot who can kind of stretch the game, stretch the defense, in the way that Dallas Carter did. I think you got to go get a tight end. And if you don't, I would get a receiver that's kind of tight end-ish in the way he's built. You know, like DK Metcalf could be a tight end if you wanted. I don't think Kylan Granson is that guy. Kylan Granson is sort of a widget. Like Nyheim Hines is sort of a widget guy. He's a tool guy. All right. Corner is the biggest need, and then long-term, yeah, but I think you can solve that in different ways. I was speaking specifically of the draft. Anyway, Kylan Granson can't block, and that's problematic. What you need is a guy who can do everything at the tight end position. Cornerback is a need, but I think you can maneuver your way toward being okay at the corner position in a way you can't with a tight end. And that is a really good point, Jeff, because we've gone down this road twice in the draft, and Quincy Wilson, rocky scene. There you go. Yeah, we're doing great, Dylan. Thank you very much. Breakfast with Kent tomorrow morning. Cannot wait to talk to you then. All brought to you by the great people at Today's Dentistry.